Father, all of us bend in the body of Christ, Lord, when it grows and when you start giving it life and we start respecting the power and the moving of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord, all of us bend a little bit because, Lord, our ways are not your ways. And we don't want to go our way. We want to go your way, God. And, Lord, I really want to do this right, God. And, boy, it's outside the Holy Spirit. It's hard. And, God, we just pray you'd anoint Isufu and as we go into this venture. And more than just the message, reading, Lord God, and the message, the translation, God, take your word, Lord, this morning and just bring it alive. Bring it alive, please, Lord. Amen. This is a dry run with Isufu too. He doesn't have my notes. Every other week he's going to have my notes so he can kind of follow along a little bit. And I would assume that he's going to get lost. Of course, none of you guys care. You don't have headphones on. So anyway, we did a whole series on Elijah. And we started up when he's going to, going on Mount Carmel, that whole story of Elijah going on Mount Carmel and how the whole sociological climate of the country was changed with that story. I think we did we called it Ordinary Average Guy, okay? I'm going back to a story that we never covered in the whole Elijah story. It's the story of the starving widow. To give you the context, the entire nation has been affected by Elijah. He goes to King Ahab, and this guy's got to be a man of God because everybody listens to him, okay? I mean, Ahab knows he's of God, and Ahab's a wicked king, so he hates him. But God protects Elijah, and he says to Ahab, now remember, the whole culture back then was agriculturally based, okay? No rain, your economy dies, okay? And Elijah says to Ahab, it's not going to rain again. Because Ahab was wicked and he was, you know, multiplying wickedness and keeping righteousness down. And he says to Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so. Now, I'm sure Ahab, great, fine, whatever. Who do you think you are? It went years, about 3 or 4 years. 4 years, no rain, okay? So much so that Ahab is looking for Elijah to kill him. And God takes him away to a secret place that nobody knows of, where there's a fresh brook flowing with fresh water, keeps him alive. God brings him, I mean, there's a whole sermon in itself there, and we, you know, talked about it in that Elijah series, where the ravens bring him food, which is crazy. Because ravens, where do we get the word ravenous from? Raven, they're greedy. They take from others. They do not share anything. So the whole miraculous nature of God sustaining him with meat. You ever seen a raven carry meat and give it? You know what they do to carcasses on the road, okay? They'll even fight over it, okay? I've seen them do it. Very smart birds. So he's being fed and sustained supernaturally for 4 years. Now, being in spiritual leadership, I would be complaining the whole time. I mean, what am I doing out here? You know, like, everybody else is dying, but so maybe I wouldn't be that negative, okay? So that's where we pick up the story, okay, right here. And a lot of reading here, there's going to be a lot of scripture. I'm putting more scripture up on the screen today than I think I ever have since we started the church. So I'm going to trust you can follow along. But there's some people that have never heard this story. We're going to go through a lot of these verses and take a look at them. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And she was going to get it. As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, then that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home, do as you said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah told her to do. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord spoke by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "As surely as the Lord lives," she replied. "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I went the wrong way. Okay, sorry. Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" And he stretched out himself on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let his life return to him." Almost done. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house, gave him to his mother, and said, "Look, your son's alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth." That's a lot of reading. Take a deep breath. Okay. So, in the middle of the provision drying up, okay, he's at a brook, supernaturally sustained. The brook dries up. "Hey, where are the ravens this morning?" Uh-oh. Okay, in the middle of provision, the brook dries up, and it says in verse 8 that God's word, I'll read it again, then the word of the Lord came to him. In the middle of the, it said, God's word comes to him. That's significant. That's significant to us as a church. That's significant to you as an individual. I want to ask you something. Just think about it, okay? Does the word of God come to you? Does God direct you? Does the word of God come to you? Or does it stay sealed up? Okay? Right now that Bible's closed. And sometimes you can open up the Bible, but it's still closed. Because people read it and they don't let it read them. This book will read you. Okay? It's dynamite. It's powerful. Does the word of God come to you? He says the word of God came to Elijah. Now, the word of God will never come to those who are not hungry for it. Okay? If you're not hungry for it, if you don't think, "Yeah, there might be something there I need," okay, it's not going to come. So how does the word of God come to us? How does the word of God come to us? Well, there's various ways. Okay? Number one, scripture is impressed upon you in reaction to a circumstance or a decision to be made. Okay? So you got that? Scripture is impressed upon you in a reaction to a circumstance or a decision to be made. It happened this morning. You had to make a decision. Do I go to service or not? Notice I didn't say, do I go to church or not? This is not church. This is the service. You're the church. Okay? The church has left the building. The church is not a building. Okay? So you had a decision to make. Do I go to service? And immediately, maybe you came out of habit, but a lot of you, the scripture in Hebrews 10 came to you. Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. Spur one another. There's a perfect example of a scripture coming to you. A principle. Okay? You got a decision, a circumstance you're in, and right away, you think of the Bible. That's the word. That's God coming to you. That's the word of God coming to you. That's one way. Okay? Another way. You're led to read in a particular place in the word. You know? Maybe you got a daily writing thing and you're reading and wow, was that ever for me? I told you a little bit about that last week, about Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. How it keeps sneaking up on me all the time. And it, you know, smacks my microphone off my face, okay? Gets my attention. Okay? That's another way. Now, here's another one. You're just reading, like I'm saying, you're directed. I gotta read Isaiah 50, I don't know, you know. Okay? You don't even know what's there. Or maybe you do know what's there. And God directs you and causes you to see it in a different way. That's word of God coming to you. You need to recognize it. Here's another way. Okay? You're just reading the word of God. Now, notice there's hardly any word of God that comes to you if you don't have time for the word of God. Okay? Okay? Listen. You've got to have your face in the Bible here, okay? If your only spiritual diet is just coming here, you're getting ripped off. You really are, okay? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, okay? There's the guidebook. The game of life. Remember the game of life? Right? You spin the spinner and get kids and go through career. And here's the instruction manual. Your body, temple of the Holy Spirit. Here's the maintenance manual. Okay? Your marriage, your family. How do I do this? There it is. Right there. Priorities and finance. Who to hang out with. Okay? How to live your life. There it is. Okay? If you're not in this, you're toast. You are Satan fodder. You're done. You're gonna get creamed. You're gonna get lied to. You're gonna get deceived. You're gonna make decisions. And you'll be scratching your head saying, how did I ever get into this mess? Okay? So, I can't emphasize that enough. So, you're directed. Then there's another one in your, like, commitment to reading it. You weren't expecting it, but all of a sudden the truth sees you when you're reading and it leaps out at you. I have used the illustration, Yusufu's gonna have a tough one with this. I've used the illustration of the movie Alien, you know Alien, that creature, you know, where they got two mouths, you know, when you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden, and grabs your face right in, okay? Wow, you know? I know, I'm a little weird. God, don't let my weirdness stop them from knowing you. Please, God, okay? I know you can use it, okay? Okay? That's three ways the Word of God comes to you, commonly. Now, let me give you an illustration. The Bible talks about the two men walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection. They're followers of Christ. And, you know, they can't believe what's happened. And, you know, there's rumors that he's, you know, risen from the dead. And all of a sudden, this guy starts walking with them. And they don't realize it's Jesus until after. And they realize it's Jesus. Here's the scriptural reference. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Okay? I mean, when God talks, there's a burning there. Like, man, you know? There are times when God has spoken to me, it's been so powerful in my heart, in my understanding, and in my recognition that, whoa, this is God. I don't have to hear an audible voice. That wouldn't have made it any more powerful. That's how he can speak to us. And he wants to speak to us like that. That's how he speaks to Elijah. Maybe a little more specific. Let's go back to the story. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. You know what? There's a setting I didn't hit right and the slides aren't coming out that good. So forgive me for that. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. You go to Zarephath. I've directed a widow to supply you with food. You don't know, most of us don't know the historical and cultural significance of what God has just said here. It would be right and proper for Elijah, and he probably did say this, although it's not in the Bible, to react kind of, what? You directed me to a widow? Like, widow's bottom of the totem pole in Israel, in that culture back then. They were nothing. They had a single mom? Hey, what are people going to think? You know? Excuse me? Now remember, this guy advises kings. Kings tremble. Kings get stressed out when he walks into their court. Okay? Oh, here he comes. Okay? I mean, this guy's used to staying in five-star hotels, not, you know, the YMCA with a bunch of derelicts. Okay? That's where he's been directed. You're going to a widow's place. You're going to the lowest of the low. Elijah, I want you to do the humble thing. Sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Well, let's look at what Jesus was talking about in Luke 14. Jesus talking, okay? Well, John's reporting. When Jesus noticed how the guest picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Kind of like washing smelly fishermen's feet. Eh? Kind of the same thing, isn't it? You know? And, you know, that's what Jesus was all about. Well, here we see Elijah engaging in this. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, that's where everybody met together, you know. A widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" And she was going to get it. As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." Now, if Christy, my daughter, was here, this is what she'd be thinking right now. He could have got it himself. Well, yeah. I mean, really, come on, what's your problem, you know? You know, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have gone, "Hey, get me something." I know, different culture, you know, like, I couldn't have done that. But God had told him, remember, "I have directed a widow." And he would have every reason, "Oh, widow, come on." It looks like God was still trying to humble the guy. You know, "Hey, I've been living in a brook being fed by dirty, filthy ravens." By the way, an unclean animal the Jews were not supposed to touch. Okay. "I've been living like this for 4 years. You want to send me to a widow? This is what I get?" You know, obviously God's still dealing with this guy. Still got a bit of an ego here. Okay. Now God had directed this lady. Remember, it says, "I have directed a widow." Now you got to see something here. Okay. Look at this. "I've directed this." Okay. Well, I guess everything's going to be okay, right? Well, let's find out. This is the widow. Remember, this is the widow directed by God. "As surely as Lord your God lives." Notice she didn't say "my God." Okay? She says, "Your God." Yeah, that doesn't sound like "my God." "Your God. As surely as your Lord, as a Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son. And then we're going to eat it and then we're going to die." Ever feel like that? Just about every morning. I'm not a morning person, man. I go, "Oh, man. Oh, please." Okay. Now, okay. You know what your attitude is when nobody's looking. Now, think about this. You can be specifically directed by God and still feel that way. Have you got that? This lady, I mean, she is reacting exactly the way any of us would react. And yet she is directed by God. Just because you're directed by God doesn't mean you hear choirs singing, ooh, you know, you feel heavenly, okay? That's a lesson in itself right there, okay? You can be directed by God and not feel that great about the instructions either, okay? "I don't want to do that." You know, I don't, maybe she didn't know she was directed by God, or I don't know. Okay. But her initial reaction is, "Get out of here." You know, "You got to be kidding me. Don't you see the situation I'm in?" Commands of God, a lot of commands of God, we don't always feel that good about them. Okay. Don't always feel that good. I want you to do this. Huh? Are you kidding? Okay. Let me give you some examples. In Foursquare, you can't vote the pastor out, okay? Okay? It's such a good system, okay? "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. In fact, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw out the..." Gotta slow down for a sufu. I'm going fast because I don't want to, you know, be tough on you. Okay? "And see if you will not throw out open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." That's a command not everybody's comfortable with. It's still command. "Well, the New Testament doesn't teach tithing." Well, actually it does, because Jesus sanctioned it when he's chewing out the Pharisees, but it wasn't really the practice of the New Testament. Tithing was just for wimps, okay? The real followers of Christ, they gave everything, you know, and they brought it to the disciples' feet. And we can give strong enough New Testament support that it's kind of like the bare minimum. "Well, God hasn't revealed that to me yet." Oh, dear God. Okay, yeah, he has. You're just fighting it. Okay? That's one area where, you know, he commands, and we're directed. "Jesus is Lord of my life." Really? Really? Is he Lord of your wallet? Is he Lord of your bank account? Is he Lord of your RSPs? Okay? I could keep you here all day telling you stories of supernatural provision where the floodgates of heaven are open to people who go down this road. Okay? But I'm not one of those preachers that preaches for the sake of, you know, give and you'll get a blessing. Because the Bible also says nobody should give under compulsion. Okay? That says that in the New Testament. And you know me like this. I hardly ever talk like this. But I can't ignore stuff like this. Okay? And we're in a good financial position for a church that's only been going for a year and a half. But the reason we are is because there's a lot of people that are doing this, okay? And if we're ever to get where God wants us to get, and I don't know where that is, but I could tell you a lot of dreams. A lot of the dreams were shared when we had our leadership meeting yesterday, okay? I could see this thing growing into the thousands. I can see us mothering dozens of churches. I can see us having an impact on this city that shakes the nation, okay? Because I know what God's doing in this, and it's in this, in here, and it's rare. It's ultra, ultra rare. But you know what kills movements like that? People thinking that they can serve God on their terms. Now, if you're new and you're visiting, you're kind of going, I'm in a cult, okay? Okay? I'm not talking to you right now. Nice for you to be here, but I'm talking about the crew that's kind of like, you know, we're in this, and we're committed to it, okay? You know, you can always talk to me after as well. That's a difficult one. That's one where he commands and we go, and it's directed by God. Here's another one. Forgiveness. Settling differences. I don't have to forgive. They do. They hurt me. You guys know my story. You know how I'm struggling with that. Okay? It's not an option. Unforgiveness is not an option for anybody that's following Christ. Look at what the word says. Okay? If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Oh, what about the grace of God? Oh, what about His mercy? What about the God? Yeah, that's all true, but that's still the Word of God. That's still the Word of God. How do I reconcile that? I don't always know. But I know I've got to be stronger in this area here. Okay? If you think you can serve God on your terms, you are going to be a frustrated follower of Christ. That doesn't work that way. Okay? Here's another one. To love. To really love. To really love people that you wouldn't normally love. Who do you love? People that you wouldn't normally love if it wasn't for Jesus. He specifically says your enemies. He specifically says everybody that everybody else ignores, you know? I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me, you know? I was a stranger, you never welcomed me in. It's like he's pointing to those people. Love. Well, I want to minister to those people. No, you don't. You need to be in kinship with them. You need to be in friendship with them. You need to be a part of your family. Okay? That's the type of love he's talking about there. That's not always, you know, hey, well, I don't know about that. Now, some of you may be thinking, do you mean we got to live like this or we can't be a part of it? No, look, we're all messed up. We're all selfish. We're all greedy. We're all lustful. We're all, you know, we're all got our own agendas. I'm worse than any of you in this room, okay? But I know I have no hope to live this life outside of following Christ. And I know it's a good life, and I know it's the best life. I know He has done so much. He's my only hope to get there. And I'm going to fall, and I'm going to stumble, and I'm going to fail. We don't believe in luck. Thank you, Jesus. I'm with a bunch of people that are very supportive. And we encourage each other, and we cheer each other on. We say, keep going, keep going. Keep going. It's good stuff. The days are evil. They're getting worse, okay? Not today. I mean back in this culture here, the Elijah story. The days were evil and they're getting worse. And along comes God intervening, okay? Okay, enough of the famine. Okay, I'm going to change things. I'm really about to, you know, light the fuse on some spiritual explosions here. But first I got to set some things up here. He's about to do things, but not like the widow thought he would. I'm sure the widow was kind of tuned in because she did recognize this was the man of God. You know, that had to be there. And, you know, she knew that the things in the world were getting, in her country were getting desperate. You know, people are dying. You know, God, this has got to break sometime. And he's just about to do it, but he's not doing it in a way that she thought. You're going to die. I love her. I love this lady. She's so honest. This guy's a prophet that addresses kings. She probably knew who he was. And she's bad-mouthing this guy. Widows didn't do that, you know. And oh man, she's got moxie, okay? God's message to us is the same as Elijah's to the widow, okay? And this is what Elijah says to the widow, and this is what God says to us. Elijah said to her son, don't be afraid. Go home. Do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me. And you're not getting out of the command. Hear that, okay? Don't be afraid, he said, but I'm not letting you off the hook here, okay? Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. He says to us with those difficult things, don't be afraid to obey me. Don't be afraid to obey me. And he says, go home. That's significant. Go home. If the lordship of Christ is not real at home, it's not real. You got that? If it's only in here, or when you fellowship with the church, with the church, it's not real. Okay? It says, go home. She could have given in to the, you know, oh, he's a typical preacher asking for money. I heard preachers use this, you know, I've heard preachers use that, these verses I've given you this morning, like the tithing thing, all the time, to manipulate and, you know. Verse 14. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So often, the miraculous is tied to our ability to obey without question. Let me say that again. So often, the miraculous is connected to our ability and willingness to obey without question. All of us want to have everything figured out. All the things, all the T's got to be crossed, all the I's got to be dotted, and then I will obey you. When the circumstances line up. Peter, you want to come to me? Get out of the boat. And he walks on water. Joshua, I want you to march around Jericho 7 times, yell your brains out and blow trumpets. Huh? Do it. Gideon, gather around 120,000 soldiers, you and your 299 buddies. Driving a Sufu crazy right now. Walking fast. Smash the jars. Blow the trumpets. What? We're going to get killed. Do it. Some of you don't know these stories. You're kind of going, what's he talking about? Those of you that do, you know where I'm coming from here. Okay? Elijah. Before the fire comes from heaven, I want you to get the sacrifice. Soak her down. Barrels and barrels of water. Get it soaked. Huh? Do it. David. See that big guy, 9 feet, 6 feet tall, 700 pounds, full of armor. This guy eats people for breakfast. Go down there with a slingshot. There's no fear. The Bible says he's running down the alley. Naaman, go dip yourself in the Jordan. Smelly, dirty Jordan. You know, the cows crap in it and they pee in it and everything. It's gross. It's the main river going where all the fields and the, you go down there and dip yourself 7 times, you'll be cured of your leprosy. Excuse me? You get out of here and wave your hand and say the magic words. That's exactly what the account says. Let me give you another crazy thing. Go down to council's basement and pray until you feel something. Or until something happens. Okay? Push. Pray until something happens. Okay? You like that, Sharon? You writing that down? That's not in the notes, okay? Push. Pray until something happens. I've seen hats. Maybe we should get those. Maybe we should go in the back of the shirts the next batch we get. Which I've heard ladies are going to have a V-neck and it'll be very stylish and it'll be nice to look at, okay? You wouldn't hear the abuse I get because they think that you'll feel like a trucker, you know? No offense, Don. I mean, I love you. I wish I was a trucker sometimes, you know? You don't have the headphones on, so you knew what I just said, didn't you? Okay, what stage of the story, this Elijah story, what stage are you at? What character do you identify with here? Elijah? Hey man, the brook has just dried up. I just got laid off. Or she just left. Or he just left. Or I got nothing. Okay? The brook, and you're waiting for his word. And maybe his word has come, but it's really weird. What? You know? And maybe you haven't followed through yet. maybe you're the widow. Okay? You're directed, but she didn't even know it. And God's word has come, and you're going, what? There's no way! And she says, okay, I'm gonna do it. But, I think it's fair for her to say, but I need to know this is God. Okay? I think that's fair. I could be wrong. Or maybe you're the kid. Okay? Hey, Elijah's living at her house. Great! You know something's gonna happen. Nobody, this guy isn't afraid of anybody. Alright, this is awesome. Oh yeah, by the way, kid, you're gonna die. Didn't expect that! There's no bystanders in the kingdom. Oh, the kid, there's no bystanders in the kingdom. God's got a plan for everybody. 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 It's specific. And God, because we have his word, God has spoken to all of us. Okay? All of us. And sometimes we ignore. Sometimes we don't listen. And when we do, you know, it kind of gets clear. We kind of complain. Or if you're like me, you procrastinate. You know, let's do nothing. And maybe after 2 weeks, it'll be gone. You know? Now, sometimes it's not procrastination. Sometimes it's waiting. Because sometimes I just really don't feel good about acting. And God works out the problem in a beautiful way. So I know it was right. If he's not working out the problem, it's getting worse. Then he's letting me know, move. Do it. You know? He's still merciful, by the way. The commands of the Lord are not burdensome, it says. He stands at the door and knocks at your home. Not at our gatherings. Okay? Right where we live. Right where all your stuff is. The hidden stuff. Okay? That little place on the computer where nobody knows. Okay? Like he's... Okay? Knocks on the door. And he makes demands. Well, that's kind of pushy, isn't it? He makes demands. Yeah, you're right to think it's pushy, because anybody that makes demands, we think they're pushy. There's only one person. There's only one person in all of the universe that you can trust if he makes demands on you. Okay? His voice is different than anybody else. When he makes demands, okay, he's the only person that makes demands on us that you can 100% trust. He's wanting to unlock the miraculous in your life. Okay? That widow's situation was more desperate than any of ours. Okay? Her situation was worse than any of our situations. Okay? If Jesus is in your boat, even if he's sleeping, it's not going down. You might get wet, but it's not going down. Now, the pattern, okay? The pattern in this whole story. It's not only the pattern, and it's not only a plan for the entire nation, because you see, this is like an inside story to a nation being turned around sociologically. It's like a side story in the beginning of it, okay? And it's still the whole premise of the whole story, the macro story of the nation turning to God, and this little episode with the widow and the boy and Elijah. Everything is revolving around obedience to odd directions. Obedience to, this does not make sense. Okay? But obedience to it. Okay? Now why? Because Elijah was already saved. He was already used of God. God's always wanted to show people the miraculous, no matter how often we follow him. It's always there. Here's the punchline of the whole message, okay? And it's, if you got one of them Bibles with the red letters, this is a red letter one, okay? Here we go. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, this is powerful stuff here. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Well, I think God's no respecter of persons. Oh, yeah, it does say that, but it says this too. Okay, figure it out. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Does that mean there's a pecking order? I don't know. Kind of looks like it, doesn't it? Does God give everybody a fair shake? Yeah, I can give you enough, you know, scriptural support, but there's an in with God here. And he really seems to favor those that are... Okay, if you love me, you're going to obey my commands, he's saying. Don't tell me... Can you imagine a couple getting married, you know, and doing the vows and everything, and, one of them going off and being stupid? That's not love. That's selfishness. Okay? And God's not stupid. Hey, look, I know who love me and who don't love me. And the ones that obey my commands, they're going to know my love. There's a lot of people that God loves that they don't even know his love. Why? They don't obey his commands. He sure he loves them. Of course he loves them. God loves everybody. Hell is filled with people that God loves. What happened? I guess they didn't. They were able to obey his commands and they didn't. Okay? Close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm going to pray. That's it. It's over. Well, it's not quite over, but it's getting there. Okay? If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay? And this is not, well, man, John, I don't want to be a part of this crew. I'm not asking you to be a part of any crew. I'm just telling you that my sin and my imperfections I could never live this life. That's why I follow Christ. That's why I invite him into my life. So I knew I'd be safe. I knew I'd have a relationship with him. I knew there'd be a starting point from schlop to glory, you know? And if you don't know Jesus this morning and you want that situation right and you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, okay? And you want that, make that right. I want to pray for you this morning. Not going to center you out. Not going to embarrass you. Before you leave this room, I will track you down and we will pray together. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. And, you know, we'll get that right. And I'll only, like, make this call for maybe 10 or 15 seconds because I don't want to belabor the fact. Most people in this room know Christ as their Savior. We get people coming in here all the time. And this is the most important thing we do. Have people come to Christ. And it's super easy, okay? Well, I shouldn't say it's super easy. When Christ comes in and does what he wants to do, man, it becomes easy because he empowers us, okay? Okay. I've done this. How many times have I done this since we started? I think maybe 5 or 6 times. And I want to do it this morning. It's been a long time since we've done it, and it's about time, you know? His power and blessing, okay? I want you to stand, and we're all trying to follow the Lord, and I believe that everything I've said this morning, you've taken it to heart, but I want to bless you with this blessing I put place upon you often, okay? So let's stand. Close your eyes, and put yourself in some type of posture of receiving, okay? You might want to do this. Might want to do this. Might want to whip out your wallet and hold it open. I don't know. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yea and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body and mind and spirit to move in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you to protect and keep you. Be blessed with supernatural strength to turn your eyes from foolish, worthless, and evil things. Instead, may you behold the beauty of the things that God has planned for you as you obey his word. I bless your ears to hear the lovely, and the uplifting, and the encouraging, and to shut out the demeaning and the negative. May your feet walk in holiness, and your steps be ordered by the Lord. May your hands be tender, helping hands to those in need, hands that bless. May your heart be humble and receptive to one another and to the things of God and not to the world. May your mind be strong, disciplined, balanced, and faith-filled. God's grace be on your home, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls, where love and unconditional acceptance of one another is consistent. God give you success and prosperity in your business and places of labor as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of Scripture concerning the tithe. God give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and your visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you now have been blessed with the riches of God's word and his presence. And you are more than capable of blessing each other and blessing everybody that comes across your path. And that's the best way to handle a blessing. So you just go ahead and do it. And do a lot of it even before you leave the room. Okay? In fact, if you get really good at it here, the purpose of this is to get good at it here so you're even better at it out there. That makes sense, doesn't it? Those of you that know Jesus know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, you come back next week, you'll learn more.